PR disasters are rampant this year. United, Uber, and Audi, to name a few. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton has two marketing consultants on to discuss how companies can avoid becoming zombies, be more transparent, and remake themselves into success stories.
Hello, and welcome back to Techonomics. Thank you for listening. For this segment, we have zombies, as in businesses that have let themselves become unresponsive, incoherent, and inattentive, walking dead, basically, in search of customers who used to care about them. Communication experts and marketing analysts Julie Lellis and Melissa Eggleston have authored The Zombie Business Cure, How to Refocus Your Company's Identity for More Authentic Communication. Here's part two of my chat with them. Do you both, or either of you, have you experienced any pushback when speaking truth to power when it comes to having to tell somebody that maybe their company has started to zombify? Maybe it's not fully zombied, but maybe like half the body is like, you know, not doing so much good stuff. I mean, do you get any pushback on this?
I would say that by the time somebody certainly comes to me, they recognize there's some issue going on. So they found me and they recognize it's something going on with my content, my communication, my user experience that is not working. My thing I notice the most is that I see they get really focused on a little tactic, like, oh, we're not doing our social media well, or we should be doing video marketing. That's really what we should be doing. They get caught up in these like little tactics, and they don't realize that there's a bigger issue going on, that they're kind of acting like a zombie because they're inconsistent with their values. So I often spend time, and I believe Julie does too, backing people out to the bigger picture and making sure they have a solid foundation first before getting into some of the little tactics that are easy to get caught up in.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've had the experience of someone coming to me and having a million different ideas, and they're more tactically based. So they're like, I want to have this Facebook presence, or I want to do this or that. And they're not necessarily built on the foundation of identity and who they actually want to be and what they care about. So if you can present an identity back to someone and help them assess their core values and offer that as a marketer, it can be very helpful, because you can always ask whether a certain solution is going to relate back to who they are as a company and business.
So it sounds like you both mentioned tactics right there. So you're asking your clients to pull back and look, instead of tactics, look at strategy. And you're conveying that. It's kind of like when you go to somebody or a company, or they come to you more accurately, and they say, hey, we need to rebrand. So just slap a new logo on that. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that just doesn't work. And I'm wondering, what is your approach whenever somebody comes to you with that? I mean, like, put me in the room as I'm speaking with both of you as expert marketers and authors, and I say, hey, I need a Facebook presence. And how do you convey to me that you're talking about tactics, Jason? You need to talk about strategy.
I usually ask a lot of questions, and it starts to become obvious that they don't have the exact answers to my questions, which is, you know, questions such as, who are you trying to reach? What is your core message? What values are you trying to get out into the world? Does that match with your target audience? That sort of thing. So as I start asking questions, people start to recognize that they have holes in what they're doing. And we start to move away from whether they need a Facebook page or not. And we start going into these bigger issues, because we can spend all day long dealing with symptoms and not get to the real underlying problem. And that's a waste of everybody's time. So I won't do it.
And I think the big question that I would pose is, just tell me why. And then you can get someone talking about why they've come to this conclusion that they need to be doing a certain thing. And that will unveil the things that they're concerned about and worried about.
So people buy why you do it, not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Sinek, isn't it? Did Sinek say that first? He must have. I don't want you to give away the crux of the book, because everybody needs to read The Zombie Business Cure. I have to ask, in chapter 7, right, like, you've gone through the other five, the mindful, stable, flexible, original, and giving. Chapter 7 is fully embodied. How does that look? Let's give you both about 30 to 60 seconds. Just how does fully embodied look? Everybody has bought into what you're bringing. How does it go forward?
Well, in Chapter 7, we have a lot of examples of companies that are either on their way to becoming fully embodied or sort of start out fully embodied and make some errors. And it really is being completely human, reflecting your core values in all of your communication, making sure that you sort of humbly correct mistakes, and don't hesitate on sticking to who you are.
I think Julie summed it up really well. I think it's having all those characteristics. And in our final chapter, we have like five stages of zombification, because most companies aren't totally rotten. They are somewhere in between, you know, zombiehood and being fully human. And so we kind of go through the different stages as you start to move towards being that fully embodied company that you want to be.
Very cool. Thank you for the summaries right there. And my pop quiz to end the interview would have to be, okay, you're in the hot seat. You're in the war room with United Airlines as of today. What is your advice for moving forward? Let's not go backwards. Let's just move forward from where they are right now. What would you say to them?
I would say explain to your customers how they're going to be flying the friendly skies.
Right on.
Yeah, I would say get your employees on board first, because I think they need to get real consistent on what their employees need to know around messaging, around treatment of customers and that sort of thing. Get their customer service under control and performing well. So they're a united company called United, right, who can really serve, you know, passengers better, because this has been terrible.
Yes, it has. It's been a rolling show. All right.
Yes.
So, Julie Ellis, Melissa Eggleston, thank you so much for your time this morning. Wonderful book. It's called The Zombie Business Cure, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
That was part two of my chat with the co-authors of The Zombie Business Cure. First was Julie Lellis. Also, we had Melissa Eggleston, and both are communications experts. Next, we are coming off of Google I.O. 2017. I.O., of course, is the annual developer conference where new software and hardware features or products are dropped. This year, it's a little light, but there are some incremental gains when it comes to the everyday use of smartphones. And yes, I'm talking about selfies. Here's LaToya Drake, a Google technologist. Let's just jump right in. What are you seeing when it comes to new announcements this year at Google's developer conference?
There are over 7,000 developers here. The main theme that came out of the stage yesterday and what we'll see for the rest of the week is machine learning and how do we make that work for everyone, making it accessible, and also ensuring that it shows up throughout our products in a way that's easy for consumers and something that's not disruptive. So, for example, one of the things we introduced is a lot of developments with the Google Photos product. When we think about photos, we realize it's something that everyone uses. We all take pictures with our cameras. We're all a photo editor, but in many cases we forget to do what we're supposed to do with the photos, and that's sharing them. We perhaps share them on a social network or two, but actually getting them to our friends, our family is something that sort of falls behind. So what we've introduced is something called shared libraries, and what that means is it will automatically look at the people who are in the photo. It can automatically recognize them and share those photos with people that we have already selected. Another one that I was a big fan of was suggested share. So, for example, if I'm on vacation with friends, I take all of the great pictures, but I'm a terrible hoarder. I never actually send them out. Again, it recognizes who's in the photo, and it automatically says, go ahead and share this with Susie. Yes, let's do it. I want to be a good friend.
Right. When you apply the phrase machine learning to something as everyday and mundane and routine as taking a photograph with your smartphone, it kind of makes it less scary. So now you have more of an opt-in. And I have to add as well, this really sounds like a really great return on Google's investment in DeepMind when it bought the AI company a couple of years ago. So I'm glad to see it's all coming through so quickly through the pipeline.
You're right. And in fact, we saw a lot of other things coming down the pipeline, and not just with machine learning, but some of the things that we're doing with AI and with VR and AR. One of the things that I think is really going to be compelling, we talked about something called Expeditions AR, and I think that's going to change the way students and teachers interact in the classroom. And what that does is it takes things that don't necessarily come to life in textbooks and brings them to life within the classroom so that students experience them as if they are there. So let's take DNA, for instance. If you're looking at cells or you're looking at molecules, with these Tangle devices that will be available, they will actually be in front of students. Those types of experiences, students can go inside and play around and move around and see them in a way that, again, you don't see them in textbooks. You're going to space, you're talking about solar systems. Students can actually see that in the classroom and be there and interact with their hands.
I love to hear that. That's a wonderful update. And before I have to let you go, LaToya, I'm a Google Home consumer, and I'm wondering what's happening on the hardware side of things this year.
Lots happening with home. One of the things we talked about, we introduced with hands-free calling, this ability to make any call to a landline or a cell phone in the U.S. One thing that's really unique about it is that it recognizes whose voice is making the prompt. So whether you have a roommate and you say, call mom, the home device will recognize who is actually making the request and will call the right person. And then to take it a step further, we're thinking about how do we make these devices more proactive so that I don't have to initiate the voice conversation. It can actually share relevant information with me. Example, if you've got, the kids have soccer practice coming up, it's on your calendar. Maybe home knows that there's heavier traffic than normal. It will give you a prompt. It will light up and you can say, hey, what's happening? Hey, there's heavier traffic than normal. It's time to leave so that you're there on time. So we're thinking about how do we take these voice-activated speakers and have them work for us and taking it beyond just making the voice prompt.
That's Latoya Drake, a Google technologist. The uptick in Google's interest in the classroom is really good to hear. Getting a lower price point on hardware for students is next level stuff for educators. Finally this week, a quick word about Ajit Pai. He's the new chairman of the FCC, and he wants to kill net neutrality. Now that means internet providers would be able to charge websites for preferred download and upload speeds, which of course would throttle competition. Mr. Pai rather disingenuously argues the opposite. But think about it. Who stands to gain if there are speedier internet online ramps? Definitely not consumers, and definitely not smaller, more nimble competitors to Comcast, Verizon, or Time Warner. Removing net neutrality safeguards is nothing more than a power and market share grab. Please be heard on this. There's a link at facebook.com/techonomicsradio, and you can let the FCC know, no thank you, keep net neutrality. And that's it for this week's show. Thanks again for tuning us in or podcasting us on your device of choice. On Twitter, I'm at KGOJason. On Facebook, it's .com/Techonomics Radio. And all segments live at KGORadio.com/Techonomics. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.